We'd like to just jump in to this week's training, this week's discussion, again, about digital marketing. Super excited to be here. Katie and I have been, we've been doing digital marketing for a long, long time. We invited our purveyor of awesome, Jessica, to join us again today. She's going to
give a wave, Jess. Give a wave to everybody. If you ever ask us, if you ever ask us a question that is too hard, we go ask Jessica, just so you know. She is amazing at what she does, and she's a great resource that you guys are welcome to use as well.
Awesome. So today, bringing it all together, what in our business, as we talk to clients or potential clients all over the country, we have a really unique opportunity to look at and audit a lot of companies, a lot of customers' digital marketing footprints, and to give them information, give them advice, give them pointers on how they, you know, what they're doing right and how they could potentially improve some things. As we've met together over the last few weeks, we've had a great opportunity to meet quite a number of Inner Circle members, and actually have had an opportunity to dive deeper with a number of Inner Circle members. And today is we're going to chat just a little bit about some of the things we asked Maria with Lewis Cleaners if we could share some of the things that we found and as that we talked about as we dove into their company. They've got a great cleaning company out in San Mateo, California, and we've been able to talk with them and work with them as well too. And so I'm going to share some of that stuff, and basically we're going to touch on a number of issues or a number of things when it comes to a complete digital marketing strategy. We always talk about reach, capture, convert. That's really our battle cry, because in marketing in general, across the board, not just digital marketing, it's all about how do we reach and capture and ultimately convert our potential customers into paying customers, which is what it's all about. And every piece of this marketing puzzle needs to fit into one of these one or multiples of these pieces of the puzzle. And so,
and I think it's important to know which piece it fits into, right? When we're doing something, understanding where it fits, is it a reach tool? Is it a capture tool? Is it a convert tool? Helps us set realistic goals with our marketing so that we're not saying, hey, I'm going to post a Facebook post and I'm going to expect 5 customers to come from it, right? That might not be a realistic goal because of it's a reach tool, right? So knowing not just is it reach, capture, convert, but what is the goal of what I'm trying to do, so that you know you're doing the right thing and you have true expectations for that marketing objective.
And it just so happens that I just saw Maria enter the room. So we're going to talk a lot about Maria today, and we're going to have a lot of fun with her. So Maria, if you have anything, comments you'd like to make as we go through some of this stuff, you're welcome to. We'll have some great discussions. So again, we've already talked about this, but there's these 4 main points when it comes to marketing. Converting shoppers into buyers typically happens on your website. Reaching the right audience typically happens, especially from a digital perspective, happens on a search engine results page after a search has happened on Google. So you can reach your clients through various ways, through Google Ads, through search engine optimization. And then how do we capture those clients using the right messages which leads them to taking the next step. And then ultimately investing in your marketing, either in partnerships or in-house, doing things on your own, is investing those dollars, those that time, energy, and effort in the right places. So we'll chat a little bit about each one of these steps. And this was an audit that we put together for Maria's company, Lewis Cleaners. And I'll,
Derek, let me say this really fast before you jump into this. For okay. those of you, because I know there's a lot of you that this is your first time coming in. And I just want you to know that when you come in, normally what you can expect is a lot of that first stuff we just talked about, right? Reach, capture, convert, digital strategies. But typically on 1 week, we'll focus on one piece of it and we'll dive deep into what that looks like. This week, we're getting more of an overview. So if you've been here with us for multiple weeks, you're going to see how some of these pieces start to come together. And we're going to be talking about a more holistic approach and how, whether you're getting an audit from a company or you're just wondering what to look at with your own stuff, that's what we're going to show today. Is if we're looking at somebody, all the different pieces that we look to see. So does that make sense?
Makes sense to me. Great.
All right.
Thanks, Katie. So as we look at a digital strategy for every company, it really starts with kind of like the end in mind. Obviously, we want all of our efforts to end in a conversion, right? Everything, how we lead them through the funnel, we want a conversion, or we want that to result in a sale, bringing income, bringing revenue, bringing profits into our companies. And the place that that conversion typically happens is on your website. All of the efforts that you're doing in your marketing, especially from a digital perspective, ends on that website. And so it's so critical to have a platform, to have a website that converts leads, converts users, that are on your website into
my choices are going two different directions.
We have somebody who can we just mute everybody, Jess? I'm not sure if we could do that, but we want to have a website that converts. And I think it's super important when you're looking at your website, start with the goal in mind. What is the goal of your website? And that can be different for every single different company, depending on what it is that you offer. Your website, in most cases, from a service-based business, where customers are not coming into your store, you don't have a storefront. In the majority of those cases, the goal of that website is to convince a potential customer to pick up the phone and call. That could be the goal. Maybe it's like, maybe you don't want them to call. Maybe you want them to fill out a form. And so whatever
the goal is,
Or
book an appointment. That's another thing.
Book an appointment. Right. So the goal needs to be the overarching thought process. And we want to make sure that that call to action is leading us towards fulfilling and accomplishing that goal. So if it's, if you're just trying to give information, maybe it, your calls to action are more towards gathering more or giving people more information. But we've talked about this a number of times, but your website has to load and function very, very quickly, especially on a mobile device. We live in a world that is super hyper
demanding
and with demanding. Super short attention spans. So you've got to load fast. And keep this in mind that remember that your website is not so much about you as it is about your customer. Your customer is the hero of the story. They're the ones who have the problem and are looking for a guide. The guide is you. It's your company. The guide, you're there to give them a plan that will call them to action, ultimately help them avoid failure and lead them to success. If you're familiar at all with Donald Miller and building a story brand, this is the framework that he goes through in there that I am convinced is how you have to lead your customers to convert. Because the biggest mistake that customers make or that companies make is they make their website all about the company and about how great we are and about how we're beating our chest. Look at us. Look at all of the trucks, all of the equipment, all of the great stuff we have. Most of the time, your customers don't know or care about that. They care that they have a challenge and they want it fixed. Make sense? Katie, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's great. Yeah. Always thinking through the point of it is really what you want to do. So I would recommend go take a look at your homepage, right? And say, hey, how fast am I loading? Number one, if it's taking a while to load, you're going to lose people. We call that bouncing. They're going to bounce from your website and go somewhere else. And then ask yourself, what is my call to action? Just look at that and say, if I landed on this page, would I know what to do? Donald Miller always says, don't make anybody burn a calorie trying to figure out who you are, how they contact you, or what you do, what you sell.
Now, I just wanted to make a point in regards to Lewis Cleaners right here. Now, the initial image that's on this page, they're answering the question, who they are, how do you contact us? And they're really trying to build trust with their customers by showing them who it is that is behind Lewis Cleaners, that we are professional, we're clean cut, you can trust us in your home, which is right on with a message that you want to show you want to give your customers. But it's not necessarily the very first message. You want, this image of Lewis Cleaners and their entire staff is an awesome picture to use in specific places on a website, but it may not be the best picture to put as in what we call a hero image or the first image that people see, because they're really looking to have their problems resolved. And we've got to emotionally connect them with what their problem is and how can we make that problem better. So in the case of Lewis Cleaners, like I said, this image is great, but we want to use this image somewhere else on the page to help grow that trust. Next. Then
maybe give a quick example of what would be a better image on that homepage to solve the problem for a carpet cleaning company.
Okay. For example, and without maybe just jumping into another website, let's just use Lewis Cleaners for an example. Lewis Cleaners, obviously they clean hardwoods, tile, stone, carpet, all that kind of stuff. So giving people an image of what they're trying to achieve. How am I going to make your life better? In their particular case, if they're going to clean carpets, they don't want to hire a carpet cleaner. They want clean carpets. And so showing an image of what their life looks like after their home has been cleaned by Lewis Cleaners, for example, a you know, families on the carpet or in the beautiful surroundings, pets, for example, things that trigger an emotion of peace, of joy, of tranquility, of what their lives are like when they live in a home and an environment that's been cleaned by their company. So things that will trigger those types of emotion will drive people to get more information or pick up the phone and call.
So whatever your business is, that's a good thing to ask, right? When you go look at your website, just ask, hey, what problem are people wanting us to solve for them? And you'll know what those answers are. And then say, when I see the first images, my first impression of this website, am I answering that? Am I solving that problem in an emotional way?
Awesome. And then remember that most people, when they look, most companies, when they're building a website, they spend all of their time, energy, and effort, design skills, whatever, on the homepage, because the homepage is a page that is visited most frequently. But remember that although the homepage is important, shoppers need to be sold on the very first page that they land on. So conversion happens on every page of the website, whether it's the hardwood floor page or whether it's the area rug cleaning page. You need to have those pages that they'll set up, designed, and developed that they will convert on every single page that someone lands on. Because as we're going to get farther into our discussion, when you start driving traffic and reaching people, you're going to direct them to the specific page on the website about that service. So content needs to be specific. Don't dilute it. Have a page for every single service that you provide. Remember, again, emotion sales. And don't ever, ever, ever duplicate your copy. Make sure that it is unique and original. And we'll talk about this in SEO, the SEO portion, but Google needs to understand that it is unique and that it's not just being duplicated on every single page of the website. Ready, Katie?
That's awesome. I think that's a great overview to a website. And that is the very first thing we look at when somebody is wanting to improve or grow their marketing strategy. So that is what we always recommend the starting spot is how is that website experience?
Awesome. You want to take this slide?
You betcha. So let me just move all my chat stuff
I'm not sure. I should have asked, are you following along?
I am. Yeah. So, okay. Now it's about reaching the right people at the right time, right? You certainly don't want to be paying for ads that aren't getting to your right audience. We talk to a lot of people that'll say like, my Google ads just don't work for me or pay-per-click doesn't work for me. And the majority of the time, it's because they're not reaching the right people at the right time. And that becomes very expensive and very frustrating. So some of the tools that are going to help you get in front of the right people are Google Ads. And when we talk about that, we're talking two things. One is search ads. And that's probably what you think of most normally when you think of a pay-per-click ad. Shows up towards the top of the page. You can tell it's a paid one. It's text, right? The other one is display. Display ads are the graphic ads that follow you around on websites you like to visit. So that's a display ad. Also, a portion of that is a remarketing ad. So somebody that's been to your website once, and now we're going to remarket to them so they see you over and over again. Google Local Service ads. These are the Google guaranteed ads that are available for most home industry businesses, not all, but most of them. And this is even above the pay-per-click ads. And then you got your local SEO, Google Business Profile, and online directories. All of these now are going to be options to reach people. And this is where you start to put together a strategy. Everybody needs a website that meets all those criteria we just talked about. But now we're going to get into what is the right thing for you and your goals And then we start to mix and match or create kind of a strategy so that we're pulling in some or all of these different tactics.
Awesome. So let's talk about pay-per-click marketing then first.
Because honestly, that's usually where we start. If somebody is like, the biggest goal people have, this is the number one thing we hear is, I just need my phone to ring. When we say, hey, what is your goal? I need more phone calls. I need my phone to ring. And so when we hear that, first thing we do is let's go look at your website. Next thing we do, let's talk about a pay-per-click strategy because it's the quickest way to make a phone ring.
It is the quickest way to make your phone ring. And it's also, if it's done incorrectly, it's also a way that can make your bank account disappear very quickly as well too. So it has to be done correctly. But like Katie said, running paid ads can help you very quickly get in front of your preferred audience and be very, very specific and targeted in how you get in front of them. So this is something that you should if you're wanting your phone to ring and you don't want to, you know, you don't have the time that it typically takes to, you know, get your organic ranking, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, get your organic rank where it needs to be, pay-per-click is the way to get that in front, get your phone to ring quicker.
I think it's important to say too, this strategy, right, is in addition to all the efforts that you have going on with your boots on the ground strategy. Like this does not replace building relationships, getting referrals, you know, getting in front of people personally. This does not replace that. This complements that, right? And if you've ever said to yourself, like you need to duplicate yourself, like you need more of you, then this is a great way to duplicate, but it in no way like does not replace referral marketing and building those relationships that are out there. This is going to complement it. This is going to help compound all those efforts that you're already out there doing when it comes to your referral marketing.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And yourself?
It's Roger. Good. Good to see you, Roger. Thanks. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. I love this stuff. This is like my crack, if you will. I was looking at it's so funny because I was debating, I ran a report and I was debating last night whether to start my Google AdWords campaign or my Facebook campaign, because both of them were running equal as far as the amount of phone calls and responses that I was getting, but also I'm getting a lot of GMB as well, Google My Business.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, and you said something about, are we getting to the target audience? Are you guys going to cover that today?
Yeah, that's a big part of what we're talking about, right? This whole strategy, deciding where you're going to be, it's like, you've got to be in front of the right people. And so maybe your people, you know, are on Facebook, that's where your efforts need to go. And knowing who that target person is, which we're not digging into so much knowing your target audience today, that's a great conversation for us to have. This is more like, okay, what are the different tools I could use to reach that audience? But back it up a little bit, Roger. And the question before that even is, where is my audience hanging out? Because where your audience is hanging out is where you need to be. Sounds like your audience is hanging out in a few different places.
Yeah, it's really weird because I have two different services. I have window cleaning and I have carpet cleaning. So window cleaning customers are completely different than carpet cleaning customers.
Yep.
They're looking for a whole different product. So, you know, I find that my carpet cleaning customers tend to go to Facebook more than they do to Google My Business, or, and then my pressure washing and window cleaning tend to use GMB and Google more.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten that specified yet, but that's what I'm hoping to learn. I just was curious to see, because I'm trying to really target. I've been really almost to the point of where I've drawn the person out on a piece of paper and shown my marketing people and say, hey, this is the person we're going for.
Smart. Knowing those different personas is really, really smart. Matter of fact, one time I was at Adweek in New York City, and the president of Unilever was there doing a presentation. And if you're familiar with Unilever, it has just hundreds of brands, right? All the Dove brands, all these different brands for all these different products. And he told us there that his marketing team creates a persona for every single product they have for every single persona that might buy it. So for example, if it was men's deodorant, right, they would create a persona for who is buying their men's deodorant. And okay, if they say the wife is buying it, they have a persona for her and a marketing strategy to get in front of her. If they say it's for a teenage boy, they have a marketing strategy for him and how to get in front of him. So understanding your personas, you know, your audiences is really important. And one of the mistakes, you kind of hit on this a little bit, Roger, one of the mistakes we make with our marketing, especially if we're doing multiple services like you just talked about, is we do act like we have one audience, like our strategy is this, and we maybe clump them all together. And by doing that, we miss the mark. So know your audiences. If you've got multiple services, especially like we work with a lot of people that do cleaning and restoration, well, guess what? Those audiences are different. Those strategies are different. Those marketing budgets are different. And so you've got to break it down by services, by audiences, and almost create separate strategies for each one of them. Does that help?
Yeah, that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
You knew it in your heart. I really didn't need to say it. You already knew it in your heart. But it's worth it, right? Because otherwise you clump it and you dilute your responses because you're not speaking directly to what they need. And so don't do yourself the disservice of diluting the opportunities. Just if you need to focus on one at a time, focus on one at a time, really get that in and then build from there. But when we try to get too general, or we try to clump people together, or we try to like people do a service page, right? If you have just one service page on your website and it lists multiple services, that's not good enough, right? That's why Derek talked about needing individual service pages for what we do, because we're gonna speak directly to the person we wanna talk to about what we wanna talk to them about.
Well, and casting a really wide net over, you know, or a big blanket over one audience that is not specific to the service, trying to capture all the audiences with one net is really going to cost you a lot more money. And money that, you know, maybe you've got money for research and development, but there's such great strategies that can save you all that money if you just, like Katie said, figure out your audience, figure out your persona, and create campaigns, create strategies around each one of those audiences. It will save you, you know, there'll be more time up front spent, but it will save you a lot of time, headache, heartache, and money in the long run. So,
and it'll give you the result you really want. Edgar, go ahead, man. What's your question?
Yeah, so you guys talk about money. How do you stop those competitors that go in at night and click on your ad 5 times or 6 times?
Oh, let me help. Let me answer this question.
I can't hear them.
So, Edgar, there is somewhat of a misconception on Google Ads from a competitor clicking on your ads standpoint. Because every time you do click on an ad, you get, you know, that person gets charged. However, thinking of this from a perspective of Google, if they didn't have systems in place to keep from what's called click fraud, that's what it's called when someone goes and just clicks on ads. If they didn't have strategies or systems in place to avoid that or to defend that, then all of their customers would quickly lose tons of money and stop using Google Ads. So Google has really awesome safeguards in place to defend against click fraud. And it's really, there's a lot that goes into it, but simply put, it's really, if you think about, it's based off of IP address. So I can go click on your ad one time from my computer and I can charge you, and Google will charge you for that ad if I'm your competitor. But the next time I click on it, Google knows that I'm clicking from the from my IP address, and they don't charge you for click fraud or for those multiple clicks. So they're not running up your budget, spending all of your money. They are spending some of it when they initially click, but you're not getting charged every single time.
But if you think it's an ongoing problem, like if it's a big problem, like we can reach out to Google and report click fraud, but they catch it pretty well. A lot better than they did, 5 or 8 years ago. It's a pretty solid system to prevent that. So Greg, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. I'm just trying to understand something. You're saying I have a chimney sweep business. I have multiple service. Our landing page on our website just basically has our name, all of our services, and how to sign up. Are you saying that maybe it should just be a picture of a couple with a glass of wine and the kids playing by the fireplace instead? Should we have like a guy holding a bucket with water dripping out, gas logs that are not working right, or chimney pot over him, different icons so they can just point on it and go quickly. I'm just trying to get a clarification there.
You cut out on me for a minute. Derek, did you hear the whole question?
Yeah, I did. And I think, Greg, I think what you're saying is from your homepage is going to be a lot more broad, and because you do have more services than just one, but and potentially more services in the same category. So on your homepage is a great place to, capture somebody from your main hero image and then give them other options about the specific services that you provide. And then they can, like you said, create some icons, create some clickable images where then they can click on those specific services that take them to a page that's exactly about that service. The reason you want to do that is for two reasons. Number one, you're telling that page that's specific about that one service is telling Google that when they're crawling that page, that this page is about one thing. And they're not trying to rank it or figure out what's the most important part of that page. It's only about that one service, which is going to help your organic rank grow in that particular service. The other thing it's going to do, especially if you're running Google Ads, is your Google Ads are going to, based off of the keyword that they're searching, is going to direct them to the page on your website specifically about the search that they provided. And if your Google Ads are set up that way, then you're going to see a consistently lower cost per click and a higher conversion rate on your ads because you're giving your customers exactly what it is they're looking for without them having to find it on your website if you've sent them to a different page. So from an ad,
we are going to send, somebody's going to go directly to that service page that they are asking about specifically. If they just land on your website, land on your homepage, we want them to be able to navigate easily to whatever they need. But if they're coming from an ad, they're going straight to the page that is specifically about what they want to start with. Does that answer that, Greg?
I think he.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Perfect. You bet.
Awesome.
I got another question. Then So if I look up my my service around my area, there's many times that I'm organically up there, but all the other people come in ahead of me because I'm closer to them. Our rep was saying that we should open like different locations with numbers out of there, so Google will see that we are working those other areas. Back in the day, with Yellow Pages, we had four different numbers to show that we were north, south, east, and west. How do you guys do that with Google?
That's an in-depth conversation and about Google My Business or Google Business Profile, Greg, that there's a lot of strategy around Google My Business and a lot of ways that you can do it right, and there's a lot of ways you can do it wrong.
Especially if you're a service-based business, right? You're maybe servicing a large area, but you don't have physical locations in all those areas.
So yeah. We're gonna touch on it just a little bit in this presentation. We're obviously, and we have another presentation or another training that we do specifically on Google My Business that will be coming up in another few weeks. But in the meantime, if you want to have a conversation about that specifically with us, let's jump on a call after at some point after this call, and we can talk specifically about it. Is that cool?
Can you put your name, your number in the chat, please?
Yeah.
Jess, would you throw in the Calendly link and phone numbers in there as well?
So I'm gonna bounce through this next slide really, really quick. You've seen it up on the screen for a little bit. This is just some specific information that we did, that as we dove into Maria's specific location and her specific services that we found regarding her, what it would look like if we did pay-per-click ads in her market for her service. Just a couple of benefits from doing pay-per-click management. Again, we've talked about these, so I'm just gonna highlight them really quick. The benefits of using pay-per-click is you can get very specific, detailed campaigns for each service. We can geographically and demographically target your audiences. We continually monitor and your keyword cost per click and your cost per acquisition, and you can continually make adjustments on your campaigns, on your landing pages, in your ads, in your headlines, all that kind of stuff to drive the cost per click and the cost per acquisition lower. We talked about this during our paid pay-per-click specific training, but negative keywords are a huge deal you want to make sure that you add into all of your campaigns specifically to save you a lot of money on wasted clicks. And then ultimately always use some kind of a call tracking system to verify the leads that you're getting from pay-per-click marketing. Stop me if you need to speak, Katie.
No, you're good. You got it. Let's talk about LSAs. So Google Local Ads, service ads, which is also Google Guaranteed. That is the ones that are showing up at the very top of the page. They have the little green check mark next to them, and they say Google Guaranteed. That's what this section is right here. There you go. It's right there in the picture. Yep.
We found this was a really great opportunity for Maria's company because they aren't currently Google Guaranteed. These ads, like Katie said, they do show up at the top of the page, and they are not pay-per-click, but they are pay-per-lead. So you only get charged when somebody calls your company requesting a service that you offer from that. So these are a super awesome way, especially if you have a service-based business, to get in front of your customers and drive traffic, drive customers at usually a lower cost per acquisition than other methods. So, and because they are guaranteed by Google, there are a few little hoops that you've got to jump through to become Google Guaranteed. And there's an application and a number of things you got to go through to get that done. Oh, Google local ad ranking factors. This is really a Jessica conversation. Jess, the resident Google local ads professional guru of, do you want to touch on this?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're working with Google local ads, you want to think of the three R's. There's your radius, which is very similar to Google My Business, in where you have a radius area that you're targeting. The closer you are to the person looking at your ads, the higher you're going to appear in the ranking. This R is not as important as long as you have response time and reviews up. So if you're getting calls or messages from local service ads, you want to make sure that those calls are getting answered within the first 30 seconds, that you're marking those leads as either booked, disputing them, archiving them, making sure that some action is taken on your dashboard. And then the reviews, obviously you want to make sure that you're getting Google reviews and you have a place in the dashboard in LSA's where you can actually request reviews through the LSA dashboard when a lead comes through. And that those reviews, when they come back, come up with a little verified green or blue check mark. And Google will favor those over if someone left you a review on your Google My Business.
If you are like, if you're just not sure if Google local service ads are available for your industry, if you're not doing them right now, like this is usually pretty low hanging fruit, right? Like getting Google guaranteed using the Google local service ads. There's just a lot of advantages to that. So if you're not doing it, or you don't know what that is, or you don't know if your industry qualifies, if you'll just send us a little chat, we can check on some of that for you, get you some information. But we love this strategy for a lot of different reasons. The leads are coming in at a greater, at a better cost, number one. Number two, they're at the very, very, very top of the page. And there's some credibility that comes with being able to say you're Google guaranteed. So this is a good spot. If you're not doing this, let's talk about it. And yeah, Google local service ads, Edgar, they are Google guaranteed. They get called different things. Exactly. They are the same things. They're either called a Google local service ad or Google guaranteed. Same thing.
Okay. This is, let's talk a little bit briefly about search engine optimization. Search engine or SEO stands for search engine optimization. And this is really what it is. It's simply the process of getting traffic, people who are searching from free or that organic editorial natural search results on a search engine. So these are the results that show up typically underneath you have Google local ads, you have Google ads, your map pack, or your Google My Business listing, and then those rankings or the next results are the free organic results that kind of lumped under this SEO category, because it's where your content, your website, the information on your website is being optimized for the search engine, like Google, Yahoo, Bing, all of the others. So the goal of SEO is obviously to gain rankings on relevant search engine results pages. Now, I think that's critically important to understand. We talked about the goal of your website at the very beginning. Most people, when we talk about SEO, they don't understand what the real goal of SEO is. The goal of SEO is not to get phone calls. Ultimately, you want to have phone calls, but the goal of SEO, the efforts that you're putting in towards organic ranking or SEO, is to increase your rankings, getting higher on the page on those search engine results pages so that you have a better chance of getting a phone call. So if you hire a search engine a company to do SEO for you, remember that the goal of SEO is to gain rank or position. It is not necessarily to increase your phone calls. And, you know, so if you hire an SEO company thinking you're going to get more phone calls and you don't fix the other issues with your website and the conversion piece, and you go to your SEO company and say, well, hey, I've been paying you money for 6 months and I haven't got a single phone call, that your SEO company is going to come back to you and say, well, in that 6 months, we've increased your rankings by X, whatever it is. As long as they can, you know, they're going to show you an increase in rank. That's what you hired them to do. If you don't fix their other problems that drive conversion, that's typically the reason why you don't get calls.
Now, the second part to that is, as your rankings increase, your calls will increase, right?
True.
You, as your rankings increase, that will happen. That's why we do it. That's the benefit of doing it. But here's the tricky thing, right? Is what are you ranking for, right? Because some keywords, they're not created equal. Some are easy to get rankings for. Some are hard to get rankings for. Some keywords have a lot of traffic, searches for them. Some do not. So once this starts to happen and you're investing in this space, right? You're improving your rankings. You want to be really smart and strategic about what am I ranking for? And oftentimes what we think we should rank for isn't what we should rank for, because what we should rank for is what people are searching for. So that's what we want our SEO strategy to be based around. Obviously you want to rank for your name. You're going to rank for your name easily, right? But the next part, after you own the rankings for your name, what you need to know is, what are my people searching for, right? Where is the most search volume? And those are the keywords that you want to make a part of your SEO strategy.
And then once you understand that information, then you're going to set up your website on the on-page side of your website for all of that. You're going to make sure that your keyword selection is all of that set up through your website, the meta descriptions, all your headers, titles, all that kind of stuff. Once that on-page optimization is done, then the rest of your SEO strategy is handled through the off-site SEO strategies, with advertising, with blogging, with adding more content out onto the internet through link building and all that kind of stuff. So that is the basics of, you know, kind of SEO 101. And
thanks,
there's obviously a lot that goes into it.
I think you have a couple of people that have questions.
I figured Greg would.
I see you, Greg. Why don't you jump in first?
Okay. This is Greg.
I think Greg has
somebody does Google.
I lost you, Greg. Will you say that one more time?
And Greg, Greg has a pretty unstable connection, I think. And now he's
moving. We have a company that deals with our Facebook and a company that. All right, can you hear me now?
You're breaking up on us a little bit, Greg.
I'll chat.
Okay, chat it and we'll jump in here. Who else?
Roger, you raised your hand. Do you have a question?
I always have questions, because good leaders, great leaders ask questions.
That's right.
John Maxwell, it's the best. It's a great John Maxwell book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I listen to that at least once a year, because it's funny, because on my Skype it says why, but that's a whole other story. But the question I have is, so as I am working with an SEO company, I've actually cut my ties with them because I'm not 100% sure that I like the direction it was going. So let's say I wanted to focus on the lesser of the, let's say I offer gutter cleaning too, right? Is it a good strategy to do positive, negative keywords for in an SEO campaign towards gutter cleaning, and then like tips and tricks and different things like that with my content to, because if I drive people because of gutter cleaning to my site, that's going to increase the amount of leads that come into my site. So I guess the question I'm asking is it better, is it a good strategy to use the lesser of some of your services? Because let's say window cleaning is a harder keyword to get ranked with. Is that a good strategy to use that as your strategy to get more leads coming in for, let's say, gutter cleaning? Did that make sense? What I'm, or did I just shoot a bunch of stuff out there?
So if I understand what you said, you're thinking drive traffic to your website from a lesser service like gutter cleaning.
Yeah.
And are you doing that in hopes that when they get there, you will convert them to like a window cleaning or a pressure washing service, or are you just wanting to get them there for gutter cleaning?
Well, what I've found in the past is we've done what we call city pages with this, mm-hmm. this last group that I had, and like it was easier to get ranked in some of the surrounding towns of where I'm at as gutter cleaning than it is in window cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But I also found out that once, you know, because I guess the whole idea is to get them into my sales funnel, because we offer so many different services. That's a strategy that we've used. I mean, I don't really know, because I don't have my marketing metrics together yet. I'm working on that. I don't know. I'm just wondering if you found that to be because you got to, like, especially like if you go to pay-per-click, you got to pay more for like a window cleaning ad than you do a gutter cleaning in most cases.
Right. Well, in most cases that, it's a lot of that's based off of competition, right? Which is the same case with your SEO. You have more competition for SEO, you know, for window cleaning than you do for gutter cleaning. You have more people trying to get those same rankings that you're going after as well too. But it does come down to, I think, you know, how much is being searched, right? And that's why, you know, search volume is a big deal. You can have great rank for keywords that are easy to, you know, the reason typically the things that are easy to rank for are keywords that don't have a lot of search volume to begin with, right? Which if someone searches for those and you rank for them, then, you know, that's really great. The convertibility of that is really high, but the challenges is very few people do search for it. So you can, you know, I think that is a strategy, I think, but I think, and Katie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we want to focus on where people are coming from.
Exactly.
What they are, yep. What they're searching for.
Right. Yep, exactly. You got it. And I put it into the chat here, but I think it's a great question. And some of this, like, instead of just rushing through it, I think we'll just come back and start next week right here where we're leaving off, because I think we have some great questions and some really good discussions. But one of the questions that Greg put in here that he's trying to ask about is, how come things like Angie's List and Home Advisor and Dex pop up ahead of his website organically, right? And that can be really frustrating, because if you're searching for something, you don't necessarily want to land on a directory, but directories tend to rank really high. And the reason they rank high is based on their domain authority, right? We talked about that a little bit before. We'll come back and talk more about domain authority, because it's an important thing. It's an important ranking factor, but domain authority comes from a few different things. One of those is the link building. So how many good links are you built to? And how many are coming back and are linked back to you? Well, directories, that's all they are, right? Is they're just link builders. They're linking to all these companies. So they have a high domain authority. That's why you see directories rank really high organically, is for that reason. It's part of the SEO strategy is to link build. So that your domain authority increases. That's one of the things that helps your rankings improve. But directories will show up high for that very reason. The good news is a lot of people know their directories, don't want to click on a directory, and will skip past a directory to get to a locally owned or independent type business that they're looking for. But that's why you run into that issue with directories.
The other thing too that I've noticed is most of the time, we see that happen a lot with SEO, with organic rank. Don't typically see directories like Angie's List and like Yelp and those types of companies. We typically don't see them running Google Ads, right? And so that's another benefit of running Google Ads, is because then you can get in to the game above those directories through those ads as well too. So yeah, I agree with you, Katie. I think we should just kind of pick up where we left off today, next week, simply because we still got a lot of information that we want to dive into. We've had some fantastic questions, and it's been awesome. We've got just a couple of minutes before we move on. Is there anybody that has another question they want to ask? That you're dying to get the answers to. I only see names, so I'm not seeing the chat or anything, Jess. So has anybody got a question, Jess?
I think we've been answering them. Yeah. Hey, great conversations today, you guys. I think you're doing super smart things with your business. I think it's phenomenal that you showed up here and you're learning more and we're asking the right questions. We love coming on here with you. And so if there's things that you're like, hey, I just need to learn more about this, shoot that over to us. We'll be happy to put this into our conversations. Each week, we typically deep dive into specific different things. We're doing some overviews. We'll jump back into Maria's audit next week so that we can get this big glance of what are the different things? How do I talk about them? What am I looking for? Maria, thanks for letting us use your audit today. I think next week we'll probably talk a little bit more about what that process was like for you as a business owner, right? Like, what are the questions you should be asking? How do you go about knowing what's working for your company and not working for your company? So appreciate you guys all being on here. I know some of you reached out about getting some one-on-one time set up. We'll do our best to, you know, get with you really quickly and make that happen so that we can dive into your specific business, your specific markets, and point you in the right direction for some resources.